Oh, good morning, Nashville. Welcome to the show. Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. His name is Derek Mason. My name is Braden Gall. We are, this is probably insulting to our producer, Josh Upton, but we are down two dudes today. Two dudes.
So we are half of a team right now.
Half of a team. And that's, I feel like that's insulting to Josh Upton. Nick Hale, a little under the weather today. Chase McCabe, however, is where we're going to start the show.
It's a different story.
Very different story. Planned vacation, well-deserved, well-deserved. We got a lot of stuff to get to today, of course. NBA draft coming up tonight, NHL draft, news on Matt Duchene, the Vandy boys get a W. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, but we've got to start with Chase McCabe, of course. He's not here. And what's the motto on the show, Derek?
When you're not here, we get to talk about you.
Yep, that's the rule. All right, so here's my question for you guys. So Chase is doing this annual sausage fest with Darren McFarlane. And like 12 other dudes.
It's like 20 of them.
So it's like 14 dudes in a cabin in the woods.
With 10 beds.
Isolated, away from other like people, social settings, females. Like just all of the world is being blocked out for just these 14 dudes to bond. Just
with 10
really,
beds.
I cannot confirm that. You're the one saying it. That's Derek Mason, folks. So here's the thing, though. They were not scheduled to check in to their cabin until today. And normally check-in times are in the afternoon.
Yeah,
right?
Noon. Between noon and 3.
Noon is early, so let's just play early here. Let's give them the early benefit of the doubt and say that Sausage Fest Brodeo 2019 Brodeo 2019 starts today at noon, let's say. Mm-hmm. They drove up yesterday, however, and they went past where they're staying by 2 hours. 2 hours.
Yeah.
To get to the casino in, I believe, North Carolina, just across the border in North Carolina. So they're going up to the mountains in the Smokies. So, which, by the way, it's awesome. I love the Smokies. I wouldn't go with 14 dudes and stay in the same cabin as all 14, but
with
whatever.
10 beds.
To each their own.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, what do you guys, like, what do you mean you're going up tonight? But you can't get into your hotel slash cabin? He goes, yeah, we're just going to stay in the casino. I mean, well, so you got a room? No. We don't have a room. We're just going to be in the casino. I said, you're gambling all night long until, like, noon the next day, today, Thursday, so you can check in. So I tell Josh this information this morning, and he's proud of Chase. I could not think of anything less I would want to do than to stay up all night in a smoky casino with Chase McCabe and Darren McFarlane for 12 hours playing cards in a casino. I know some people that sounds like heaven. To me, that sounds like the worst thing I could possibly do right now at my age and my family situation.
That's one of those situations where I take $50. I go to one of the slot machines, make sure it's a penny machine, and I just sit down there and just pull.
Just pop one at a time?
Exactly. No, just put the whole, just put two 20s in and just pull a lever for the next, 10 hours?
So you put the 20 in and it registers that you've got
a million pennies.
200 pulls or whatever it is.
And I'm just pulling. I think that math checks out.
Yeah, somewhere around there. I'm just
100
pulling.
Times 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just pulling, and then I'm putting another 20.
2,000 pulls.
Yeah. So I get 2,000 pulls. So
you're up to 5,000 pulls.
Yeah. Just that's.
Can you make 5,000 pulls on a penny slot machine last 12 hours?
It all depends on if you are a rapid puller.
I was gonna say you've got good short space agility.
Exactly. You probably, if you're a rapid puller, like you're doing some, some.
Don't do that.
What do they call it? Shrugs type of things, rows. If you're doing rows, then you know you got to. It's quick, but you got to. I think when you go in knowing that, because let's just give them the benefit of the doubt.
Nah,
they checked in into the casino. Well, they got to the casino at around let's just say six
p.m.
Yeah, 6 p.m. Okay. They got to the casino at 6 p.m. So from 6 p.m. to 12 p.m., which is the next day, they are there playing whatever it is they play. One, I wonder, will they be the only ones just meandering around, looking for, going from table to table? Because they're going to go through at least two dealers. At least two dealers. Maybe even more.
There'll be at least three shift changes.
Exactly.
First of all, you know what country we live in.
Yeah.
This is America. Mm-hmm. So, no. There will be plenty of other degenerates with them in the casino.
You're probably right. Do they eat? How much?
Oh, yeah. You get the free buffet, which, of course, definitely go for the shrimp every time at a casino buffet.
Oh, I'm not touching a casino buffet. See, here's another thing. I'm very particular when it comes to food.
What do you think Chase is going to do?
I know. Chase,
he's going to go pile up on
casino
buffet shrimp. That's what Chase did last night.
He's probably peeling shrimp right now. Lucky son of a gun.
All right. This is the question I wanted to really get to, and the three of us get to make this decision. Are we calling Chase McCabe right now? Should we call him?
Absolutely.
I think we should call him.
You know what?
Should we call him live on the air and just force him to make some decisions?
Doo-doo-doo.
So Josh is getting an effort here.
Josh, you're efforting him because I was getting ready to call him.
No. We're gonna put it on the phone line. Because we're a radio station.
I was gonna call him. I wonder what. Okay, do you think he's playing cards or he's in a car sleep?
Well, he's a blackjack guy, and the problem with casinos is even if you are sober, and rested and focused, you probably are gonna lose everything.
Yeah.
Like by and large, I mean, some people win, but like. The house exists for a reason. The house wins.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
so if you're not focused and you're intoxicated and you're tired and you're sleepy, the last thing I want to do is be putting my money on the line against the house. That's the last thing I want to do.
So I'm figuring if they got there at 6, they're going to stay at the 12. They're 13 hours.
Oh, my God.
13 hours. If he stays there the whole 13 hours, like playing, he's going to lose everything.
I 100% agree. I mean, now unless he's like the greatest blackjack player
ever.
He's gonna
be asked out.
Now even that's still
he's gonna lose everything.
But that gets you to 7 a.m., Derek.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
You still got like at least at the best case scenario, you still have 4 or 5 more hours before you get to check in time. What is that? The buffet time? Is that the 5 hours worth of buffet?
Man,
is he asleep in a booth right now in the restaurant at the casino?
He has to be. Either that, or he went out to the car and fell asleep.
And either one of those two options, Chase, I mean, Derek, sorry, for Chase, would be a serious moment for a 32-year-old man to self-reflect on the status of his life. Yeah. Like, if you wake up and you're like, I'm in a car in a parking lot in a casino, and I've been sleeping for 5 hours, I've got a headache because I drank too much, I've lost all my money, is that not a moment of self-reflection? Fall asleep in a booth at a casino buffet, and you wake up 4 or 5 hours later.
And your ice cream has melted.
Do you not say, I need to change some things in my life?
Yeah.
Not if it happens on vacation. If it's on vacation, you're just getting after life. If it happens like Monday through Friday, that you might have to take a look in the mirror.
Well, technically it is Monday through Friday.
Well,
but he's on vacation.
That's true. Vacation. Semantics.
Yeah.
So, Josh, you love the overnight, I'm going to go up a night early. And, like, to me, that would ruin my – because I'm old and I'm boring.
Yeah, I
so
need
that
a bed.
That would ruin my entire next 4 days.
I can't go in a casino.
How could I focus on all these dudes being in my cabin for the next 3 days if I didn't get a good night's sleep on Wednesday night?
And then the smoking in the casino irritate my allergies. I'm done for the day.
So old.
Yeah, I'm done for the
listen
day.
Listen to yourselves.
Like, I need a bed. I'm going to bring my own pillow. It's got a satin pillowcase, and I won't sleep on anything else. And my allergies are acting up because of the cigarette smoke.
I don't know.
These kids and their vape.
14 dudes walk into a casino together.
It's like a. Do you think in their heads it's all slow-mo? Like Chase still has his sunglasses on, and he's like the Zach Galifianakis character from
where is he positioned in these 14 guys?
He's off to the left because he's tripping on something.
Okay,
because he's Zach Galifianakis in Hangover when the four of them are rolling in like real slow-mo with their sunglasses on, and like he trips over something. And he's got a little man satchel.
Okay, do you think
all of his money?
Do you think
chips?
They dap it up? outside the casino or when they get in the casino.
Do they do a huddle, like a do yeah. they huddle up? Like,
yeah, yeah.
McFarland's like, all right, guys, bring it in. Bring it in. There's just so many dudes.
My question is, how many a golf trip is that the only way you can go on a trip with 14 dudes and
golf
not be
trip,
weird?
You don't even. That's too many for a golf trip. Unless
it's really hard to golf with 14 people. It's hard to golf with like more than four, but you can do it. We did six when I was in Florida.
Did you split it up in
and
two?
It eventually was eight. And one true story: one guy had to go to the hospital.
Oh, good Lord.
In the middle of the round. Yeah, that's. I didn't even tell that story when we came back from the golf trip. Yeah, I mean it was scary. Like legit. Like he drove back to us and was. Uh-huh. Like, his face was white, and he was sweating. He was like, I'm having trouble standing up, and I'm short of breath, and it was real hot. And I was like, dude, all of these signs are like heart attack signs.
Exactly.
Get to the clubhouse right now. They had to took an ambulance to the ER. Okay. He was fine, but, like, it was a scary moment. Anyway, I digress.
Did you guys finish the round?
Of course we did.
Absolutely.
not a single one of us left, of course.
Is he okay yet?
Now, I didn't actually know him, so most of us didn't know him, so that's probably why we didn't go to the hospital immediately with him. Like, his buddy went with him to the hospital. But that was eight of us, and that's two foursomes, and that's hard to do. 14 of them is real hard. Now, I think they are playing golf. I think that's part of the trip, is that they gamble, play golf, and then, you know, 14 people get into a 10-person hot tub at the end of the night, and they all just see what happens. I don't know.
With 10 beds, there you
go. did he answer? I take it he did not.
He did not. So I had to text him to be like, hey, was just checking in on you. Everything's fine. Don't panic when you see the call.
Right. I just want to know where he – oh, yeah. Text him and be like, the tower's down.
I can't do that to him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. He would pick up so quick.
Braden and Derek and Nick all called in sick and the tower's down. Where's the assistant program director?
I'm trying to figure out with these 10, 14 guys.
So many guys.
That is just like 14 guys in one cabin. No, I don't know.
I don't know about you.
Four people.
Like you know, there's like tiers of friendship, right?
Yeah.
Like I maybe have 5 to 8 people that I would consider top tier friends that I would be like fine with in a cabin, isolated in the woods with no other people for 3 straight days. There's maybe 5 to 8 people I'd want to be in that situation with.
Yeah.
Everyone else, like second tier friends who I like.
But now
I wouldn't want to be in a cabin with him for 4 straight days.
The only way I'm being in a cabin or being in a situation like that with 14 dudes and we've planned it is that the house is massive, that it has at least 3 floors, a pool outside with televisions and everything else.
Maybe
so basically it's a resort.
Yeah, maybe like a guest house.
Exactly.
With 3 rooms.
Absolutely. So I can get away, we can go outside.
Yeah.
And I got to be able to There has to be other people around us. Like I can walk out and I see other people. So I can say, hey, y'all want to come over and party with us?
Right.
Then then they come over and party with us.
Yeah.
It can't be I go outside and I'm telling the bears, y'all want to come party with us? And that's it.
There are some swanky cabins up in the Smokies, obviously. So
do they got pools or just hot tubs?
Some of them have. I doubt pools. The only ones I've ever been in had hot tubs. But again, the only time I've ever been to any of these, which I've gone probably, I don't know, half a dozen times, the only time we ever go, it's like 4 couples or whatever.
See, that's
like,
it. That's a good.
Like 8 people.
That's good.
You know, you're there with a girlfriend or a wife or whatever, and both, you know, whatever. And you're there. And,
did you say both?
And that's and you go to dinner. The guys go play golf. The women go do whatever the heck they do. And then we
come
all
back
come back
dinner.
And we have a good dinner. And then, you
just
know, have,
sit
some,
around and
have
talk.
Some cocktails and catch up and go to sleep.
Yeah.
But again, we're the people that are affected. Our allergies are affecting us at the casino.
Yeah, it's like by 10:30, everybody's like, man,
yeah,
I'm tired.
Like, all right, so let's track Chase throughout the course of the show. If you keep on it, Josh, stay on top of it, and if you can let us know when we get first contact with Chase, let's find out what his night was like, where he was at. I think the people of Nashville are clamoring to find out what happened with Chase McCabe.
But then we got another bit of business to get to, but we will get to that as we get into the show, and that's one, Nick Kale. Mm-hmm. He's not here, so what is it when you're not here, Brayden?
When you're not here, we got to talk about you.
Absolutely.
So Derek Mason will talk about Nick Cale.
Absolutely.
When we come back. that is a tease. Also, by the way, you talked about swanky mansions.
Uh-huh.
Matt Duchene, it appears, is going to get paid. So we're going to find out how Predators fan would feel about the price tag that Matt Duchene, the numbers that's being floated out there right now for Matt Duchene is... we'll get to that. We'll just get to that, and we'll see what Preds fans will think about that when we come back. Also, ripping on Nick Cale. It's a pastime unlike any other. We'll do that when we come back right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Nashville Predators Foundation will host their 7th annual Craft Beer Festival presented by Allegiant on Saturday, June 22nd. The festival features craft brews, food, games, and entertainment. Attendees receive a souvenir glass. I got one of those. And unlimited tastings from more than 70 breweries. Participants must be, of course, 21 years of age or older. So not you, Josh. And present with a valid photo ID with ticket for entry. To purchase tickets, visit Master. See, I pulled a Nick Cale. Visit Ticketmaster.com. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that small company that just started Ticketmaster. All right, so we'll get into Nick Cale. You got some thoughts on Nick Cale being out. Also, Matt Duchene's asking price. What number could that be, and how do Preds fans feel about it? Lots of NBA draft stuff to get to, as well as the draft takes place tonight. However, Corey has some advice or some requirements for 14 dudes on a trip. Corey, welcome to the show. What's up, man?
Hey guys, when it comes to the 14 guys on a trip, it's got to be something like a hunting and fishing trip, like out in the wilderness where everybody, you know, everybody's going to be stanking, nobody cares, and it's socially acceptable to split off into smaller groups so they don't get tired of everybody at the same time. And it's got to be nobody else around, because if you've got a lady in your life and you go on a trip like that and you come back, somebody's going to say something that they shouldn't say, and no matter how innocent you are, you're going to get in trouble by association. So it's got to be something where you have no chance of getting in trouble when you get home.
That's Corey makes an interesting point here.
Yeah.
Now, Chase doesn't have to worry about that. He can say whatever he wants.
Exactly.
Because he comes home and complains to his dog.
Yeah.
Well,
his dog might get mad and spill Coke on his computer again.
On his laptop. I don't know about you, Derek. This is an interesting one for me because this is going to sound like bragging on my wife, but that can't be a bad thing, right?
No,
like she just doesn't care about that kind of stuff. Like if I go, you know, hang out with a bunch of guys and we're running our yaps about God knows what, like she just doesn't care. She's like, whatever, I don't care what you have to say.
It's
so
like
she's lived with me long enough that she knows, like,
exactly. You're with your boys, and whatever y'all talk about, y'all talk about.
And half of what I say doesn't matter anyway. So, I get the idea of the big outdoor retreat idea. Like, I get that. Like, if you get to, like, if you're going on a huge hunting trip or fishing trip and you're up in, like, you're up on the in a cabin in God knows where, Minnesota or Wisconsin or Canada or wherever, and you're out in the middle of nowhere and you're at this massive hunting lodge, like, I could see a lot of different people. Everybody has their own room. Like, everybody, you're going off to do different things each day. Like, I could see that being, this is sort of in the wilderness, but not really, and it's just one cabin. It's just one house with all these people in it. And I don't know how many of the people are married, so I can't comment on people getting in trouble. Is that like I know Corey just brought it up, but I feel like that's a sitcom thing.
Yeah, I think that is.
Is that not real life?
Yeah.
Like,
no, I don't think it is. I mean, I don't know.
I've been on golf trips before with, like, more than this many people, like, maybe up to 30 people, at least 20, and with, like, a lot of guys. And
30 people on a golf trip?
Yeah. They, like, big time. Couple houses with, like, a lot of guys who are, like, high 30s, low 40s. And those boys cut loose when they get away for the weekend.
Well, that's the only time they can really cut loose, so,
yeah, that's true.
You know.
I mean, I would fall into that category.
Yeah.
Probably.
It's just like... You're the guy. When you see the guy that's really cutting loose, you look at him and say, "Yep, you never get out."
Well, oh man. So I'll go back to my golf trip. So We were there for 3 days. We played three rounds, and we had three like nice places to go eat dinner each time. And we stayed out pretty late. Like, it's not, I don't get out much. So like we did our thing and had some drinks and ate some good food and, you know, Ubered back home about 1 o'clock, 1:30, whatever. One night though, the last night of the trip, and this guy had been, I just met him, and he had been pretty stable and smooth and cool the whole week. Like two and a half days of just, you know, hitting balls in the fairway, and, you know, he could handle his beer and, you know, whatever. The last night of the trip, though, he was like, "We're going to the steakhouse," so he's like, "I'm not going to eat much today. I want to save it for my appetite," which is clearly a huge mistake if you're going to drink beer all day.
Yeah,
like you can't. You have to put food on your stomach. You need to hydrate. You have to be an adult about it.
Exactly.
Right? We were at the steakhouse. It's a nice place, like not cheap. Mm-hmm. And we're all sitting there. We have this huge table. There's about eight of us, and he is going to the bathroom in the steakhouse.
Oh,
four or five or six times.
Oh.
Because he was the guy who couldn't handle cutting loose.
Oh.
Now, no kids, engaged, about to be married.
So what?
So he's in a nervous state right now as it is.
No. Okay, if you are.
We'll talk about sports at some
time. Yeah, we'll talk about. We'll get to sports sometime today.
Nick and Chase are gone. No one's going to control us.
But here's the thing. When you're not married, you don't have any kids. Yes, you're engaged. You still should be able – this shouldn't be anything new to you. You see what I'm saying? You should be able to still hang out with your boys, go out, because you really don't have any obligations. I mean, you got your fiance, but
– that's a high-stress situation, though, being engaged.
Yeah.
Last couple of months before your wedding, it's high stress. That's anyway, old boy couldn't
– oh, man.
Old boy couldn't handle it. Yeah. And we're in a – like, just think about what took place. Like, that's a nice steakhouse. Yeah. Like, we all had to overtip. For sure. And dude was talking about this 18-ounce porterhouse the entire – or bone-in ribeye. That's what it was. 18-ounce bone-in ribeye the entire day he was talking about it.
That he wanted it?
Ate about 4 ounces.
Oh, goodness.
I felt so bad for him. Oh,
hey, man, he set himself up for that one.
So that was eight people, and that was pretty chill. And we still, you know, cut loose a little bit. At 30 people, how did you guys all get to a –
I was invited, like, very by association, but some guys who I think went to high school together, like, just set up this thing, and they get a couple houses in the Outer Banks and book a few tee times.
Now, that's – Outer Banks sounds cool.
It's a good time.
I've never been. I want to go. Have you been?
Nope.
Yeah. All right. All right, so we talk sports now?
Let's finally get to sports. I'll talk about Nick later.
All right, you'll talk about Nick later. All right, Matt Duchesne's asking price. It looks like we've got some insight as to what that number could be. And, of course, the National Predators and David Poile are interested, as they have been. Duchesne and the Predators have been texting late night, it feels like, for years now. Will a deal finally get consummated? We'll give you what the number could look like. And how do Preds fans feel about that? We'll do that when we come back, of course, right here on Morning Drive. We'll be right back. Preds fans, join us for the official Nashville Predators NHL Draft Party presented by Yeehaw. 3, 2, 1. Yeehaw Beer tomorrow, June 21st at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, located at 1855 Galleria Boulevard. Win prizes like autographed memorabilia. Meet Predators broadcast personalities along with Nash and the Energy Team. Jared and the GM will be broadcasting live from 2 to 6, followed by Preds Insiders from 6 to 7. It's the official Nashville Predators NHL Draft Party tomorrow, June 21st at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. That should be a ton of fun. Make sure you swing by and say hello. This was yesterday from Darren Drager. Somebody had this is also from Steve. It started with Steve Lloyd's conversation. He works for TSN. He says, this is a couple tweets, Derek, I'm going to read here. 27-year-old center Kevin Hayes, best offensive season is 55 points. And he just signed a 7-year contract worth an average of $7.1 million per year. What does 28-year-old center Matt Duchesne command? He's hit or surpassed Hayes' best season 7 times. So 7 times Matt Duchesne has been a better, more productive player than Kevin Hayes. And this guy, Kevin Hayes, of course, played for Winnipeg, got traded from the Rangers. $7.1 million, just signed a new contract. Darren Drager responds to that tweet with, early speculation suggests $9.5 million per year, and that might be conservative for Matt Duchene. Always depends on where the player sees the best fit. So obviously that number varies depending on where a player wants to play. And you can speak to this a little bit, Derek. There's no such thing as like, I mean, maybe there's a small hometown discount really, but you are willing to take different amounts of money within a range to play where you want to play, right? Like you had choices, and mm-hmm. I'm assuming that you could have played in a lot of terrible places when mm-hmm. you left and were a free agent. You had New England and Baltimore, two very good organizations and mm-hmm. franchises. Did anybody else offer you a deal at all anywhere? Like, did you have like conversation? Did your agent have conversations with anybody else?
Yeah, we had conversations with several teams. But like you said, it's preference. It's, you know, what team is going to give you the better opportunity to win, and then with that team, what is the average salary that each team, or average contract length, or, you know, payment of the contract, how much on average, what is it? Is every team pretty much close? Right? Is everybody in the same ballpark? So to speak?
It sounds like you would have valued at that time mm-hmm. of your career, like if a bad team had offered you, you would have said, I need the number to be higher.
Yeah.
Because you valued winning at that point.
Yeah, because you got to understand, I was coming from a winning team. You know, my years there, we had 2 8-8 seasons. We had two bad seasons, I remember, I think, but they were because of injuries, not because the team was bad. We were decimated with injuries. So I was used to going to the playoffs, Super Bowl, AFC Championship games. Those are the things that I was used to. So for me to then, you know, go to another team that wasn't accustomed to winning.
Can you name names?
Nah.
Was there a team that was a bad franchise that offered you a contract in that time of your career?
Yeah, that we were in the works. We were getting ballpark numbers. Mm.
So Browns.
There were teams in the. I mean, I think they were all AFC teams.
Lions.
That's one thing I would have never, unless I was like at the end of my career, if I had already won a Super Bowl and then was like finishing up the last year or two, then I would have considered the Detroit Lions because it's home. But I would have never, in the prime of my career, I wouldn't have went there because they were
in a bad position.
They were just a bad team. And then being there with family, as much as I love my family, it just compounds everything, you know, just a lot of stress and everything else. But when you come from a winning organization, you're looking to go to another winning organization, unless the team that is not a winning organization pays you handsomely.
Not, right. The sliding scale.
Exactly. Right. It has to be over and above what everyone else is paying you.
So some of that's also, I'm assuming, system.
Yeah.
Right? Like it also depends on what system you play in. Hey, I think I can be more productive, or I fit better. My skills fit better in this system versus that system. And so Matt Duchene has all these things to consider, right? Mm-hmm. He's got all these things. And he hasn't exactly been a high-level playoff player. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm saying he hasn't been on good teams, mm-hmm. right? He's Colorado, Ottawa. Okay, last year the Columbus thing worked out, right? Like mm-hmm. they actually got made a little run there, and you know, Tortorella had some funny comments, and Panarin was on the team, and now they've got to try to sign everybody back or let them go.
And he's still working off his rookie deal, right, Matt Duchene?
I'd have to double-check on that, okay. And maybe Josh can look that up for us, but he's if his low ball number, his conservative estimate right now from the guys in the know is $9.5 million per year, two things, first of all, stand out to me. Number one, this and looking around the league at the other contracts, right? Eric Karlsson just gets $11 million per. Kevin Hayes is getting $7-plus million per. You're starting to look at these deals, and you're starting to look at numbers that are pretty ridiculous. And you're starting to say, and this is where, you know, I asked Robbie Stanley this on Twitter yesterday, and he agreed with me. The new television contract for the NHL is coming up in a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And I think everybody in the NHL circles feel like this TV contract is going to be much bigger than people think. And that will then elevate the salary cap. And so I'm wondering, my first thought when I see these numbers is, oh, these GMs would not be giving these deals out to people in the NHL if they didn't think the salary cap with the Seattle expansion coming mm-hmm. wasn't going to go up significantly. How else can you make room for a $7 million Kevin Hayes? Kevin Hayes would be like the third best player on the Predators in terms of contract, or fourth, right? Like he'd be mm-hmm. behind who? PK Subban, Ryan Johansson, and that's it? Like who else is making more than $7 million on the Predators? And he is not the third best player on the team.
It.
Like he's just not. Now, Yossi's going to probably jump that mm-hmm. with his deal July 1st. But point is it, number one, when I see these numbers, I'm thinking salary cap must be going up, which is a good thing for everybody, including the Preds.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think when it comes to contracts, a lot of times it's not necessarily the player and the production. It's the time in which you sign that contract. For instance, you know, the NFL, these guys, these quarterbacks are making so much money, and we figure, well, why is Matthew Stafford, you know, guys like that, why at one point in time Derek Carr, why at one point they were the highest paid quarterbacks? Well, it's all about when you sign that contract, how much that team has under their cap, how much the salary cap went up that year so they can afford to pay you, knowing that eventually you're going to go from number one to probably number 7, 8, 9, 10 in a matter of 3 or 4 years,
right?
Because the salary cap goes up each and every year. So a lot of this is based on when you sign your deal, because, you know, every sport has that, you know, handful of guys that you look at and say, man, he's not worth the $7 million or $8 million they're paying him.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily his worth. It's what the team was willing to pay that particular time of the year. And if they really needed him, you know, if they really needed that guy, then they had to give a little bit more to keep
right.
him.
And it's like you said, it's this, the market is constantly changing in every sport. Like mm-hmm. all these contracts, you know. And again, not to bring it back to Mariota, but that's basically everything in the world comes back to Marcus Mariota at this point in the city. He, you know, if they re-signed him right now at $26 or $27 million, I think most fans would go, man, holy cow, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But and that would make him like the sixth or seventh paid highest quarterback right now in the NFL. In 3 years, he's going to be 18th highest paid.
Exactly.
Because Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield and all these other guys are going to get new deals, and the salary cap's going to keep going up. So it looks weird the first year, maybe the second year, but by the fourth or fifth year of the contract, you're underpaid. And so that's the beauty, that's the point of a GM's job, is to, you might look like you overpaid for the first year, but as long as you're underpaying at the end of the contract, you've done a pretty good job on a deal. And in the NFL, it's very different from hockey, guaranteed contracts versus non. I just wonder what Preds fans think if Matt Duchene is the highest paid player on the team at $10 million a year. Like, are you okay with that? Is that a number that we're comfortable with? First of all, like, I don't know how you get to that amount of salary cap space. They've got mm-hmm. seven right now, and you've got to resign Rocco Grimaldi. You've got to resign Colton Sissons. If you want Brian Boyle, you've got to bring him back. That's $3 or $4 million, give or take, whatever. Guesswork here on that. I would hope that Colton Sissons is signed to like a 6-year, $12 million deal, like Kalle Yarncroke, mm-hmm. so that you can keep him around for a long time at an affordable cost, because I think he's too valuable a piece. You know, Grimaldi, I think you can get for probably less than $1 million, but, it, you know, it's rounded up, whatever, $850, $900, whatever. It's about $1 million a year, probably. I don't know what Brian Boyle's going to command, but it could be in that same range. That eats up a lot of that $7 million just right there, before you even begin contract negotiations. So I don't know where you find $10 million to give Matt Duchene, even if you trade Nick Bonino. Mm-hmm. That's $4 million off the cap. Okay, that gets you to 6 or 7. Well, if Matt Duchene's asking price is starting at 9.5, and that's before negotiating with all the other teams in the NHL, I don't see how there's space. Unless they make a second trade, whether that's PK Subban, Craig Smith, who, pick a name.
Turris.
Turris would be a mm-hmm. big one, obviously. But then that brings me back to Turris, of course. And that brings me back to, if Matt Duchene is worth 10, does Kyle Turris's contract not look as bad at $6 million if he returns to the player we know he is?
It would be sort of a discount then. If he returns back to the player that he once was.
If he's scoring 50 points a season?
It's sort of a discount. Here's the thing with the Matt Duchene contract. Is if, as much as many people believe and assume that he just wants to be in Nashville, like he can't wait to the day that he can, you know, sign a contract to come to Nashville, then maybe, just maybe, he takes a little bit of a discount just to come here to Nashville. Now, what that discount will be, I don't know. If it started at 9.5, I don't think he would say, you know, I take 8.5.
I mean, even at or nine, eight. Let's go below. And again, who knows if Darren Drager knows exactly what he's saying or not.
But
like,
we're going just off that. by assumption. We're going off assumption if it goes that Drager's
down,
right.
Let's say he goes down to nine. Okay, that would be, according to the experts, that would be a fairly conservative number.
So
for
what
Matt
would it
Duchesne.
Be? Nine per for what?
I don't know, 45 million, 54
He's already
million,
been
five,
in the league
years.
10 years now.
Yeah, he's, so he's coming off a five-year, $30 million contract, uh-huh. Which, you know, it's at that number, I don't know. Probably, I think you're probably looking at a 4 or 5 year deal. I mean, he probably wants longer, but it's maybe 6 year deal. I mean, who knows?
I say if
that's $60 million almost.
If the Preds are willing, if the Preds say, you know what, if they go into this saying, you know, you're what 30? What is he 30? 28. 28.
You're gonna get 4 good years, really good years.
You say we're 28, and say he wants. Well, I want to sign, you know, an 8 year deal. The Preds really only want to give him a 5. So then he says, okay, since I want to be here, you know, can we do a 6 year deal?
And then what that does to the cost per year, right? Because.
Or the Preds say, or as a matter of fact, he says, well, you know what? I want to be able to re up in another 4 or 5 years. And the Preds says, no, not really. You know, we want to keep you a little bit longer. So he says,
we're
okay,
pay you less
yeah, we'll
year.
Pay you less, yeah. But we'll give you 2 extra years, right. You know. Right. And he says, okay, that'll be the discount. You give me 2 extra years, you know, yeah. And we figure, you know, those last 2 years are really kind of if years. Maybe he's playing at a level that's worth, you know, this 9 he's making per year. Maybe it's not, but at least, you know, it's sort of that discount.
And if you get him at 9, And you can't, again, I don't know how you do it without trading at least 2 pieces. It, most likely Nick Bonino and Kyle Turris in essentially salary dump situations. I don't know how much you're going to get back for either one of those two guys right now.
But if you
that's $10 million you're clearing, uh-huh. Which is could be then turned into Matt Duchesne. You could do that, but you can't do it with one trade. I don't think you can find the space to pay him. And even on top of that, let's say you do find the space to pay him. Mm-hmm. He's a really good player. We know he's an upgrade. Like that's not up for debate here. But you're looking at Ryan Johansson at $8 million at center, $9 million for Duchesne, or 10, whatever the number is, mm-hmm. at number two. You're talking about almost $20 million in your first two centers.
But if you pan him, say the starting point is at 9.5, and he says, well, I take 9. And I want to give you some numbers because this will kind of put it in perspective sort of. And it's not the whole NHL. It's just his particular position.
Right. All right, Keith and some other guys on the phones want to chime in. I don't know how people would respond if they announced a 5-year, $9.5 million, $10 million per year contract for Matt Duchesne. I'd like to know how the fans react to that because is that a Chicago Blackhawks type of move that puts Chicago Blackhawks in the salary cap issues that they're in today? Or is Matt Duchesne the reason they win a cup? I mean, that's essentially what you're asking yourselves for $10 million a year. We'll get to your phones when we come back on Matt Duchesne, the starting point, what the contract negotiation could look like for the Nashville Predators and for Matt Duchesne. We'll do that when we come back right here on 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Ricky Bass, live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Link Mount Juliet, also Morning Drive.
I like that, Josh. Little red Corvette.
I asked the intern, Jimmy, I said, if you got any requests, you just let me know. He said, I got one right
I
now.
Like
little
that.
Red Corvette.
What year did this song come out?
LeJ, early, it might have been mid-80s.
I was going to say.
Yeah, mid-80s when it came out.
How old is our?
Jimmy said 86.
86. Jimmy knows his.
Jimmy, how old were you?
Jimmy's
21.
Oh, Jimmy wasn't even born.
How do you know about?
Yeah, no, Jimmy wasn't born.
How do you know about that man?
Well, I understand how he knows. I mean, because
I know. That's his favorite song.
I know about, you know, Bill Withers and all these other guys and girls because my mom and dad would play it. That's the only reason I know.
Okay, that's. I'm being very complimentary. The fact that you know that song is.
Little Red Corvette, man.
Very complimentary.
Jimmy, you wanted a Little Red Corvette, man? Corvettes are not little.
Although, did you see the? I saw a story a couple months ago that like they can't sell them.
Are you serious? Corvettes,
yeah,
the way they're made now,
they can't sell them. Like they're I don't know if they're overpriced or whatever, but like dealerships have, uh-huh. they're giving huge discounts on it. Now's the time to buy a Corvette, people. I'm just saying.
I love the way they...
Don't ask me why I know this worthless information.
I love the body style on the new Corvette.
And like the Z, is it the Z06 that's the new one or whatever, the souped up one? That thing is... That thing's got a lot of flair to it.
You
want to
go
now.
Buy
that's
a
awesome.
Little red Corvette now, man. Take the top down.
Well, you're the one guy who could go do it. So
let your hair blow in the wind.
Exactly. All right, we got some calls here to talk Matt Duchesne, but you had some numbers you wanted to throw
quickly,
out there.
Because we're talking about what would be feasible for the Nashville Predators to sign Matt Duchesne, knowing that the price could potentially start at $9.5 million. I'm looking at other defensemen in the NHL and their average salary. I'm on SportTrack, and they give out the average salary of basically every player in the NHL, and you could break it down by position. Now, you know, him being a defenseman, you say 9.5, where would that put him?
Duchesne? Center.
Yeah, center. Where would that I don't know why I said
yeah, I know you knew that.
Yeah, I don't know why I said
the amount of things that radio hosts say incorrectly that they know are incorrect.
Exactly. I don't know why I said that.
We have to talk a lot.
9.5, where would that put him in regards to salaries based upon his position? Well, 9.5 million would put him right at number 11. He would be tied Malkin. He would be tied.
Evgeny.
Yeah, Evgeny Malkin. He would be tied with Malkin at 9.5 right now.
You got Taylor Seguin, Kopitar, Eichel.
Yep.
Jack Eichel, Jonathan Toews, John Tavares, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid's at 12.5. Now, we know he's not going to get the 12.5 that McDavid gets, but that 9.5 still puts him at a top 10 player. In the NHL.
That's more than...
Top 10 centermen in the NHL.
That's more than Alexander Ovechkin and more than Nikita Kucherov now, currently. Now, that's a function of when they signed the deal.
Absolutely. Now, is he worth the 9.5? And then, two, would it be feasible for the Nashville Predators? Because as I said to you, Braden, during the break, because PK's making $9 million now, and I know PK always come up in right. talks because he's the highest paid player on the Predators. So if PK is in the equation, if you somehow, some way, and you came up with a great, you know, analogy or proposition for a team, if you say, well, I will give you PK Subban, but in return, I don't want necessarily a big name salary. Give me future assets. Yeah. Give me 2 first-round picks. Give me 2 young studs that I can send, you know, to the minors and allow them to work their way up. So if they do that, then they're able to sign Matt Duchesne at a $9.5 million, maybe even at a $10 million, because those future contracts are not going to kick in at least for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and I think that is – it's the sort of the one conversation we haven't really had on the show as it pertains to making deals. We've talked about Turris as a salary dump. We've talked about, and when we say salary dump, it means you don't get
get what's in return,
and you're not getting future assets either. PK Subban, while it feels like it is salary related because he's making $9 million and trying to clear some space, he's getting up there in age. He's still a totally viable and quality member of the team. Kyle Turris has not been the last year. Nick Bonino's getting older and is more replaceable at $4 million a year. But with PK, you cannot trade PK and not get value in return for him. What does that value look like if it's not a big-name player with big salary, right? Like, and the only answer to that question is restock your farm system and maybe acquire a bunch of draft picks. So would Predators fans – and I know I've already asked you guys to chime in about Duchesne, and I know a few of you guys are on hold to comment on Duchesne's sticker price. And so we'll get to that. I swear to you guys, hold tight. But the other question is, what would Predators fans feel if we wake up and TK Subban has been traded and nothing that we got back in return was something that could contribute right now? Now, it doesn't mean you didn't get market value, right? Like, let's say you're getting 2 elite-level prospects that restock the farm system that needs restocking. You get multiple draft picks that help you restock the farm system that needs restocking.
And maybe get a player.
And maybe you get, like, a sixth body or fifth body defenseman that's good enough to make your starting lineup, right? because Dante Fabra, we think, is ready to take his spot, at least somebody's spot, whether it's Ryan Ellis, PK Subban, whoever. We think Fabro's ready to take a spot. I wonder what people would think and feel about that, because it is the one thing we haven't really discussed with PK, because I don't think you can trade PK Subban and not get market value for him. You're not going to get market value for Nick Bonino or Kyle Turris.
And people,
but can you trade PK and get something that's market value but not impactful on the team today and still have a chance to win and compete today, this year? And it's an interesting thing to consider, because you and I haven't answered that question. We'll tell you when we come back. Your phone calls on Duchesne, the sticker price, as well as what would you think if PK Subban was dealt for future assets. Equal value, but future assets, not ones that contribute today. We'll do that when we come back. Hour number one in the books. Don't go anywhere. Morning Drive.